Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. For mid-July, this is Marty Jones as your host today. In 2022, Monte Vista began focusing on an outdoor recreation strategy. It was one of 25 communities nationwide selected to participate in the United States EPA Recreation Economy for Rural Communities. In 2023, it received $10,000 from the Outdoor Recreation Roundtable to advance this strategy. Today, we are joined by Xavier Campos, Monte Vista's coordinator in these areas. Welcome, Xavier, and thanks a lot for joining us today on The Outdoor Citizen.
Thank you for having me.
Take it from here and tell us where Monte Vista is in its overall strategy through the EPA's Recreation Economy for Rural Communities program.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So
very open-ended.
Yeah. A lot to work off of. Yeah, so when I first moved here in September 2023, Monte Vista had just been selected back in 2022. And they had been working through getting their action plan created. So they had workshops and meetings with people at the local, state, and federal level. And they had come up with this document, is basically this master plan of ideas that people in the community wanted to see, just things that they wanted to improve, you know, outdoor access. We want to make the downtown look nicer. We want more art. We want statues. We want business development. We want all these things. And so they brought me in my first day and dropped this 100-page document on me and went, here you go, read through it. And this is what you're going to be working with for the next year. So going through that, I sort of had to work through and figure out, okay, how am I going to organize this so people in the community can get involved in this community-driven initiative? Because that was my main focus from the start, is I'm working as the community coordinator. I want to do what the people of the city want for the city and make that happen, not Xavier's vision, Monte Vista's vision. So we have it organized into five different groups, which have been condensed down into three now. So we have a group for outdoor access and walkability in the city. We have a group for artwork and statues and downtown aesthetics. And then we have a group for business development and tourism. And so I've been working with the wonderful people of Monte Vista on these three groups. And these past few months, we've gotten a lot done. Yeah. So for our business development group, great news. This July, we've just been selected by the Office of Economic Development and International Trade for their Destination Blueprint program. So we're going to get about 100 hours of technical assistance from people that are very qualified in destination development, and they're going to actually be looking at Monte Vista with a trained eye, looking at our policies, talking to locals and seeing, okay, what are you doing here that we can improve to improve tourism and make things better for small business owners here? And that'll be starting in August 2024. So just a couple of weeks now. Yeah, we have group one and two, which is our outdoor recreation and walkability. We're trying to work on getting archery for the school system and for the kids in Monte Vista. So as I was saying before the podcast started, we just had our first archery shoot with Kids Connection out at our Schreiberite archery range. And that was awesome. That was a great collaborative effort between 4-H, CPW, the Forest Service, the City of Monte Vista, and a bunch of other great volunteers that came out and helped that day. And we had about 25 kids come out and just have a great time learning how to fish, learning how to shoot, making bug boxes, and really just getting out there. And it proved that, you know, these kids can respect the rules of the range and be safe with shooting sports. And so now the next step is to start getting that into the schools and making it so kids can participate during PE and after school. So that's a recent development, and hopefully that'll be great going forward.
Excellent. And what age were these kids?
Third through fifth grade.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We had a couple older kids, but yeah, for the most part, pretty young, and you know, they were great. You know, we have a whistle and instructions for them to stay safe when they're out there. All respected it, all walked out to grab their arrows, all of them listened to the instructor. And it was so funny. You know, we're out there, and after one of the kids shot his first three shots, he looks back at me and he goes, "Is this open all the time? Can I be out here whenever?" Like, "Yeah, man, you can go out whenever." And some of the other kids were talking to the volunteers like, "So how much is archery equipment? Like, how much does a bow cost to buy?" And so that just brought so much joy to my heart to know that, you know, kids were getting exposed to these new things and maybe found a new passion that they could pursue going forward.
What kind of bows were they using?
So they were using compound bows, specifically the Genesis bows, which is the official bow for the National Archery and Schools Program, which is what we're trying to get at the school district as well. And it seemed pretty good because, you know, a lot of those kids had never shot before in their lives. And, you know, by the 6th, 9th, 12th shot, they were hitting shots on target. Some of them were even getting close to bullseye. So
it was
awesome. It was awesome to give them that opportunity.
Excellent. You mentioned some of the partners for that particular activity. Can you talk about the partners that are involved in the overall project, the recreation economy for rural communities?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we have a lot of partner organizations that I've been talking to and working with. RERC is largely community-driven, which is great for getting input and ideas out there. But the difficulty is resources and money, obviously. So like with our Goal 3 group, we've been working with the Church Project and the Lore Foundation, which have been awesome. The Lore Foundation has done a lot of great work in Monta Vista and funding projects. So we've been working with them, like I said, for our group with outdoor recreation and walkability. We've been working with CPW, 4-H, the Forest Service, working with our city's recreation department, just try to expand the recreational opportunities in the city. And then for our business development and tourism group, we've been working a lot with the Optimistics and OEdit and a lot of grant organizations trying to find money to start improving our online visibility.
So how can people get involved or participate in these projects around Monta Vista?
Yeah, so if you're interested in getting involved, you should definitely reach out to me or the community coordinator that will be taking over after me. You can reach out to me at xcampos@ci.monte-vista.co.us. Email is the best way to reach me, but I will be leaving on August 1st. We'll no longer be living in the Valley, but we have another community coordinator that will be coming to take over. And you should reach out to him to any questions you have. He will be able to answer them and get you involved in our mailing lists and invited to our meetings.
Is there a website for this by any chance?
No. So we don't have a website. It's largely run by me. You know, I organize the meetings. I've got the mailing lists. I put together the presentations pretty much. Not much of an online presence, unfortunately, but you know, you just have to reach out to the community coordinator and make that happen.
Let's talk a little bit more about the walkability portion of this. You've talked about the getting the kids involved in the outdoor recreation. What about walkability in Monta Vista?
Yeah, so RERC is sort of involved a bit with the Lariat Ditch Project as well. That's a big project. It's about, I think, $10 million, if I'm not mistaken. And I've been working with DJ Enderley, our city planner, on making that happen. And that would basically create a walking path through the city for anyone to take advantage of. It's not too much on it yet. I mean, we had a community meeting, and basically what it's going to do right now, I don't know if you've seen the Lariat Ditch, but it's basically just this ditch that goes to the city and it gets a lot of trash and people just sort of walk through it. So we thought, hey, this is already here. Why don't we pipe the whole thing and then put a walking path over it? There's already people walking through it anyways. This way people can just have a nice way to get through the city and access the downtown and access all the great things without having to drive anywhere. Because unfortunately, that's sort of the way it is right now, is anywhere you want to go in the city, most people drive.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with the layout of Monte Vista, can you tell them how they can find the Lariat Ditch?
Yeah, yeah. So essentially it runs from east to west. So if you're looking at Monte Vista on a map, you have the golf course on the top left, or top west, northwest, sorry, of Monte Vista. And it sort of runs underneath that east through the city, and it sort of ends at Sky High. Now, the trail won't go all the way there. It'll only be going through the city, but essentially think of Monte Vista like a rectangle, like a wide rectangle. And it would almost be doing like an S through it, a backwards S, or more like a Z, I guess. But yeah, it would essentially provide a nice walking path for people to get through most of Monte Vista, at least the parts where people are living and businesses are operating.
Yeah, so this is about a block on the north side of the US 160.
Yes. Right?
A block and a half, something like that,
yeah.
So what is the time frame for that Lariat Ditch project?
You know, I wish I could tell you. I know construction hasn't started. I know budgeting is still being done, and we still have to get approved for the grant. That's the other thing. So I can't give you a date on when that'll start or when that'll end until we get confirmation on whether we'll be getting those funds. But it is in the works. It is in the works. So it's not a 20-year away project, I hope. Yeah. I hope.
Excellent. So what have you enjoyed most about being a coordinator for this RERC project in Monte Vista?
You know, I love the culture of the Valley here, and I love working with people. It doesn't matter if it's Del Norte, Alamosa, Monte Vista, Creed. Anywhere you go, you can just talk to people, and people will just listen. You know, I showed up here not knowing anyone, not really knowing anything about the Valley. You know, I just sort of moved to Colorado on a whim after graduating and just figured I'll just take a chance and see what happens. And I've just been so thankful for the warmth and love that the Valley has shown me here. You know, I've been able to just get involved and help with so much and meet with so many great people. And whenever I talk to people about things that I'm doing with my work or things that are happening in the city, it's always such a positive response of like, they support what's happening, and they want to get involved, and they want to see these communities improved for the better, which is just so, you know, it brings warmth to my heart knowing that people care. You know, sometimes it feels like your work may not necessarily matter. You know, what have I really done in a year? But coming here and working here, I feel like I've made a positive impact on these people's lives. And I hope that work continues going forward.
Well, it sounds to me like you've laid a great foundation for this project moving forward into the future.
Yeah, yeah. And I honestly hope that the work continues for 3, 4, 5. I hope it continues forever, honestly. RERC isn't something where, you know, we have this list of projects and then we're done, you know. There's always more that can be improved, more to make the city look better, more to make it easier for people to get around, those sorts of things. In my mind, I would like to see RERC continue long into the future and make Monte Vista an even better place for people to live and work.
Thank you very much, Xavier. We've been speaking with Xavier Campos, who is the coordinator for Monte Vista's Recreation Economy for Rural Communities project. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back with our string of outdoor conditions and news, as well as some upcoming events after this brief sponsor break.
Are you craving adventure? Step back in time with the entire family aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Discover breathtaking mountain views and savor the historic charm on the longest and highest steam railroad in America. Feel the thrill of history come alive as you ride along the same tracks laid in 1880. All aboard for the 2024 season. Trains depart Tuesday through Sunday from Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico. Antonito train station is located just 30 miles south of Alamosa. Book today at CumbresTolltech.com or call 888-286-2737.
Welcome back. We've got some conditions for you. The San Luis Valley is on a three-month trend of measurable precipitation going back to May, when 1.7 inches of rain was measured, and then June, another 2 inches. The rain sure makes a difference in keeping the valley floor refreshed, but it's no substitute for winter snowpack. So far in July, just under an inch of rain has fallen so far. We've got a brief fishing report from the Conejos and Arkansas rivers. On the Conejos River, the flows on the lower Conejos are around 240 CFS. Fishermen report seeing lots of bugs on the upper Conejos above the South Fork up to Platoro. All small upper streams are fishing well. And on the Arkansas River, fishing is now excellent. Flows have dropped significantly over the past 3 weeks, increasing productive fish habitat along the edges and really ramping up the dry dropper and streamer fishing. Now is the time to be here for high-octane, productive summer fly fishing. Now we have some local and statewide outdoor news for you. The annual Colorado Birding Challenge is just around the corner. And this year, your participation can make a significant impact on bird habitat restoration in the San Luis Valley. The Birding Marathon takes place on September 14th. By participating, valley birders can directly support Phase 2 of the Conejos River Restoration Project. Learn more on how to get involved at mvcranefest.org. And I'll just put in a quick plug for a podcast from a couple of weeks ago when we had outstanding birder John Rowinski on. And if you go back and find that segment of the podcast, if you haven't listened to it yet, it'll give you some good ideas on how you can get involved in this Colorado Birding Challenge. As Colorado prepares to update future transportation plans and develop the state's 2050 Transportation and Transit Plan, CDOT and local communities are holding a series of public meetings throughout the summer and fall to solicit input from the public on recent infrastructure development and future needs. Meetings will be held in the San Luis Valley on August 22nd at 10 a.m. and again on November 14th. Both meetings will be hosted by the San Luis Valley Development Resources Group at the corner of State Avenue and 6th Street. The Bureau of Land Management, BLM, has announced proposed changes to existing BLM resource management plans to promote conservation of wildlife corridors and priority big game habitat on public lands in Colorado, including through management of oil and gas activities and other efforts to incorporate the best available science. The BLM coordinated with the state of Colorado, tribes, local governments, and local citizens to create and evaluate alternative management approaches for oil and gas development to minimize negative impacts on high-priority habitat for big game species, including elk, mule deer, pronghorn, and bighorn sheep. The review included approximately 6.17 million surface acres managed by the BLM, and approximately 16 million acres of split estate where the BLM only manages subsurface federal minerals. Under the preferred alternative, where lands are open to oil and gas leasing under existing resource management plans, the BLM would prescribe measures consistent with the Colorado Energy and Carbon Management Regulation to conserve seasonal habitats and connectivity within big game high priority habitat in support of Colorado Parks and Wildlife's big game population objectives. Authorizations for new oil and gas facility locations within high priority big game habitat will be avoided when density exceeds one active oil and gas location per square mile or contributes to an increased density beyond one active oil and gas location per square mile. State health officials have announced another presumptive human case of avian flu. the seventh such case reported in the past 2 weeks in Colorado. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment is closely monitoring farms reporting avian flu spread in poultry and cows, particularly in Weld County. The Center for Disease Control continues to state that the risk of avian flu to the general public is low. Our latest outdoor field correspondent report is up on the Alamosa Citizen YouTube channel. The report is from Ken Marquez, who spent a day fishing on the Alamosa River this past weekend. We welcome all of our listeners to send us their very own outdoor field report. Next time you're out for a hike or a walk, a bike ride, river rafting trip, climbing up a cliff wall, sitting by a fire, or out on a stream fishing like Ken, send us a little audio, video, or even a photograph or two, and we'll feature your report in a future episode. Send field reports to info@alamosacitizen.com with your name for credit. You can view all of our previous field reports on the Alamosa Citizen YouTube channel. We've had quite a cast of correspondents who we've enjoyed hearing from, and we hope you enjoy their adventures too. Next up, we have a look at some upcoming outdoor events. The town of Sawatch hosts its annual Hollyhock Festival on Saturday, July 27th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. From paintings and ceramics to photography and crafts, there is something for everyone. Bring the whole family to enjoy interactive activities designed for children and discover the enchanting display of Sawatch fairy houses scattered throughout town. And I might add that hollyhocks are doing very well here in Alamosa now also. I notice several homes with hollyhocks in full bloom on my ride from our house down to the Outdoor Citizen. Also on July 27th, in Monte Vista is the Faith Hinckley Veterans Memorial Park Poker Run Festival. The registration opens at 8 a.m. and the poker run leaves at 9 a.m. from Chapman Park. A car and bike show runs from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And there's also going to be live music, food, and games in Chapman Park. All proceeds benefit the Faith Hinckley Veterans Memorial in Monte Vista. And the Valley Roots Food Hub invites you to join us for our Summer 2024 Farm Tour Series, Get to Know Your Farmer. On this tour, we'll get behind-the-scenes look at White Rock Specialties, the Rio Grande Farm Park, Franson Family Farm, and Elevation Farm and Orchards. For more information, just visit the Valley Roots Food Hub website. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We'll be back in August with Mike Henderson, who will talk to us about his recent outdoor adventures and races. We're on the hunt for outdoor stories and extreme athletes. If you have an interesting outdoor story or adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics or ideas you'd like to hear on a future episode, reach out to us at info@alamosacitizen.com. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLB Great Outdoors and is produced by Owen Woods. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the Valley Birds. Until next time, this is Marty Jones encouraging you to get outside and enjoy the outdoors in the San Luis Valley.
Mercadillo en el Río at the Rio Grande Farm Park. Únete a nosotros todos los miércoles, Mercadillo en el Río, locado en el Parque de la Granja del Río Grande. Grab dinner for the night and groceries for the week. Compra una cena y los comestibles de la semana.
What started as a farm stand with a few farmers has grown into a thriving market with fresh, organic produce grown right on the property.
Lo que comenzó como un puesto de granja con unos pocos agricultores se ha convertido en un próspero mercado con productos frescos y orgánicos cultivados en la propiedad.
Our community farmers are joined by local artists, musicians, performers, and makers.
A los agricultores de nuestra comunidad se unen artistas, músicos y creadores locales.
We hope you'll join us this summer at Rio Grande Farm Park.
Esperamos que te unas a nosotros este verano en Rio Grande Farm Park.
Every Wednesday from 3 to 7 p.m. through October 2nd.
Todos los miércoles de 3 a 7 p.m. hasta el 2 de octubre.
Experience a farmer's market with a heartbeat.
Disfruta de un mercado de agricultores con corazón.